Empower Radio presents The Farkas Files, an exploration of energy, metaphysics, and the paranormal with David Franklin Farkas. The Farkas Files. The truth is in here, somewhere. Here's your host, David Franklin Farkas.
Good evening. Thanks so much for being with us whenever it is, whatever day and whatever time it is that you're listening, because I know people listen on different systems at different times. But thanks for making us a part of your week. So I'm very excited about tonight's guest, Amy Dewidowich, who helps people move from a constant transition into a real transformation. And I'm looking forward to hearing more about her story and how she does that with people. But first, tonight's metaphysical musing. And, most of the time I talk about walkabout and transitions and that kind of stuff. And here I am getting ready to move. And moving is one of those classic personal growth situations. There's an old saying, I wish I could find out who said this originally, that says, if you want to grow spiritually, clean out your closets. Well, when you move, it's cleaning out your closets on steroids. You have to touch every single object that you own, decide whether or not you're going to keep it. And if you're not going to keep it, how are you going to part with it? Who are you going to give it to? Are you going to throw it away? What's its value? Who would it be valuable to? And that's a really interesting, it's an interesting choice with each object, looking at what it means to you. But it got even clearer for me today when I was talking to a client who is very specifically looking at the issue of clutter in her life and in her home, and was kind of talking through with her what the process of archiving things that are important to you and then letting go of the original object. So she's got pictures, she's got documents, because maybe someday somebody will need this information, except of course when that person needed the information she wouldn't be able to find it. Or she has a picture of something that happened when her daughter was in school, and that moment was really special, and that picture captures it. But do you need that picture in that frame taking up the space on the shelf, or is there another way to honor that? And what we got to talking about is, how do you honor the energy that is special about the objects that you keep, but make a ritual, a ceremony of releasing the actual object? Because frequently holding on to the object is actually an obstacle to what you're trying to do. It's really the moment, the emotions, the thought that you want to keep without whatever angst and guilt there might be attached to it as well. You know, there are family pictures, there are objects that belong to our parents, there are all those things that we don't get rid of because it feels like it would be disrespectful. That what we're trying to do is honor the prior generation by keeping the objects, but is that really the best way to do that? So in shamanic work, there's an idea called soul retrieval. And the idea is that sometime in the distant past, before this lifetime, something happened to you. And in that moment, either you couldn't fully experience the moment, or you were really holding on to something, or you had an emotion about it, you were angry, you didn't want it to happen, whatever it was. And in effect, those emotions got frozen in time. And so from the dark, distant past somewhere hundreds of years ago, there's a part of yourself that every so often calls you and says, you know, back here in 1132, something really terrible happened and I still feel like it sucks. And so that part of you is not with you now. It's off there being annoyed about what happened hundreds of years ago. And so the process of soul retrieval, which is done many different ways in different traditions, is to go back to the emotions and the memories of that event and process it in whatever way you do in that particular ceremony, and then call that back to yourself, take back that part of yourself that you left there. Well, when you have stuff that is doing the same thing, in effect, looking at each object, realizing what its emotional importance is, and ceremonially either capturing that and honoring it, or ceremonially getting rid of the object, whether you literally burn it or bury it, or you give it away consciously, is exactly like soul retrieval. It takes back a part of your energy that was being held in that object and that you couldn't move forward from. Now, this has a corollary, which I call David's theory of emotional composting, which is about the stuff typically after you move. There's stuff that you can't do that with, that you can't let go of, and you put it in a box. I'll figure out what to do with this later. So you put it in the box, and you start putting stuff away, and you get to that box, and you look at it, and you go brain dead. You just can't do anything with that stuff. And you feel badly about it, and you feel guilty about it, and you move it around, you put it in a different spot, and it always nags at you that you can't deal with it. The theory of emotional composting says that there's too much emotional content still attached to those objects for you to even be able to think about what you want to do. So the trick is, first of all, to notice where you put the box, because that will be symbolic. Do you put it in a very dark corner? Do you have it out in the open where it'll always annoy you? You know, there's symbolism in where we put the stuff that we're trying not to deal with. And I watched that when I moved here after my divorce. The stuff that I couldn't find places for lived in a corner of my bedroom. And slowly but surely it moved, and I got rid of the stuff. And at the point where I realized I had gotten rid of all of it or figured out uses for it, I celebrated, because I knew there had been something that changed, something that was released. So the same thing will happen with whatever it is that you hold on to, and you just have to keep going back to the box, and at some point, you'll open the box and go, oh, what do I need this for? And I really need this over here, and oh, that's where that is. Let's put it where I can use it. And suddenly the box will be empty, and you will have let that go. And there again, if you look at it from a shamanic perspective, that's a time to celebrate. Every time that you can release something that was holding you back and move forward from that place with new energy, it's a time to celebrate. So in so many ways, life is about creating very small rituals and ceremonies that we don't even pay attention to. We are constantly creating altars, the stuff we put on our shelves, the stuff we put on bulletin boards and on the refrigerator. All of those things are altars that hold the energy of something that we're trying to keep in our consciousness. And if you start doing that stuff consciously, there's a tremendous amount of power in it. It's not just whatever altar you have. If you have a tradition where you use those things, where you put spiritual objects in some way as a place to meditate, or as a place to pray, or a place to do ceremony, everything that we do is creating these little altars. All of them have power, and all of them have the ability to heal. So just something else to look at in everyday life, and making everyday life more of a shamanic and a conscious experience. And that's tonight's metaphysical musing. And now let's have some fun with Amy Dewitowicz. Amy, thanks so much for being on the show. Amy?
Oh, I'm sorry, David. I had you on mute.
There you are.
Hi, how are you?
Sorry. I'm good.
I really enjoyed that. That was really beautiful. Thank you for sharing that.
Thank you. And one of the things about the musings is I have a vague idea what I'm going to say, and then I see what comes out of my mouth. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's called channeling. It's beautiful.
Thank you. So you have an absolutely fascinating story, which I've just heard the very bare bones of. And it led you to a whole offering that you make to people. You had some you had some complexity and difficulty in your life, and you did something very powerful with it. So can you tell us that story?
Sure, definitely. So I've had, from a very young age, I've just had a number of challenges, and as we all have, and they just kept coming. And I was like, okay, so what am I asking for? You know, you're talking about energy prior to our conversation. And that's really what I do, is I work with energy. And sometimes your energy can, like you said, emotional composting. And I really love that description of being put in a box, because actually we do that. And we do that in our cellular structure. And I think I just literally built it up, and I have the ability to be able to see energy within the body. And, you know, and I will go into my story, but I have to say this, because the way that you opened up this, this show was just so perfect for everything in my life. Yeah. Just everything in my life, and to really introduce me, you know? And so I appreciate that. And so there's this whole understanding of catabolic energy, which is destructive energy that breaks down cells. And it actually is viscous, like molasses. And it even looks like molasses in color. Mm. And it's heavy. So it's fascinating when we're stuck, right? And so I was stuck for so many years. And when we're stuck, we're not moving. We're not malleable. And if you think about molasses, it's heavy and it's sticky. And you really can't move through it. And it's challenging to even get out of, right? Yep. Or to dissolve. So one of the things that I decided to create in my life was a shift. And when I started to recognize a number of times that I kept beating my head up against the wall, a number of things happened. But one thing in particular is when I recognized that I was working with all of these other people and their energy and getting them unstuck, I was recognizing, well, what am I not doing in my own life? And what am I not realizing in my own life? And how is my lifestyle correlated with my business? You know, why am I not making the money that I want to be making? And I have all these different businesses. Why am I not really happy, truthfully? You know, I had everything. I had a beautiful, you know, 3-4 house on 6 acres of land. I mean, everything was perfect. I was, you know, with my Ken and I was his Barbie, you know, everything was perfect, but I just wasn't happy because I wasn't living to my full potential. And so it's like you said, when you're moving or when you have to get rid of things, you make space and you open things up. And each and every time we let go of things or, you know, compost them or whatever you want to call it, to recycle them, then we make space for something new to open up. And we keep making space for more and more and more. And so that's really what I did, is when I recognized that I was in a relationship that wasn't serving me and my highest good, and I wasn't serving it, and I wasn't putting all or directing my focus and my energy into one business, but multiple businesses. So I wasn't able to serve my ideal client. And I just really wasn't directing and focusing my energy on taking care of me in order to take care of others.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I recognized that, it was like a 2x4 energetically that smacked me upside the back of the head and just woke me up.
Yeah, I know really that 2x4.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I also, you know, one of the things that happened that was really beautiful was with my my coaching certification comes this really amazing assessment, which I call the energy evaluation. So it gives you a tangible result. So you get to see in bar graph and percentage form where you're blocked at your default setting or where you always fall effect to life. And it gives you a rating in each and every energetic level. And then you understand the disadvantages and the advantages of each energetic level, even the higher vibrating level. And so when I went to go take this assessment, I learned that even though I had a very high vibration, or, you know, I was high on the energetic perception chart, that didn't mean anything because there's still disadvantages. And those disadvantages are disconnects. And when you're disconnected from your true authentic self and what you really want, then you're not clear and you're not actually moving forward. And so when I recognized that, again, I wasn't spinning in circles or driving around in circles anymore. I knew I needed to point my car in a new direction. And so when that happened, I literally left my house and I left all of my things. And I moved in to a girlfriend's house who was married at the time. And her, and it was a one bedroom, actually it was a one bedroom apartment, and they had a 6 month old child. And I left everything and I moved in with them. And I literally closed my business. And I had a minor meltdown. And then I reopened everything that I needed to. And I decided to find myself the location of highest healing good where I needed to be. And I did within 3 days. Just when I made the decision of what it looked like, then it showed up. You know, the tall windows, lots of light, a deck. I mean, everything, perfect apartment.
Mm-hmm.
And when I decided and I got clear on what it was that I wanted, I was able to manifest that. And then after that, each and every time I got really clear, I was able to manifest what I wanted. And down to now, you know, just 3 months ago, I made a major move. And I got a download, and it was just, go to Charlotte, go to Charlotte. And it was very, very quick. And funny enough, I packed up my car, and I left everything again, everything. And all I had was a box of clothes and my desk and my piano bench and, you know, some plants. And I drove to Charlotte. And that's what I did. And every time you clean out, and I just want to speak to that because you were talking about moving and the energy of stuff. And really, things do hold energy. So every time you're looking to get clear and to revamp and to change, it's important to let go of those things and to clear out the clutter. Because really, you know, one of the things I used to call myself was a professional organizer for your soul's closet. Because really, you know, we all need a little decluttering.
Mm-hmm.
And we're all holding on to energy that is literally just beginning to, in our fascial tissue, or what we call strata in the scientific term, turns into catabolic energy, and it gets heavy. And that's why you feel exhausted, and you feel tired and lethargic, and you feel like, woe is me, I can't do anything. You get in conflict with yourself. You get upset. You're in self-pity. You're in guilt. You're in doubt. You're in worry. You're in fear. All of that is a culmination of those energies that are stuck within you. And so one of the ways to get rid of that is, you know, a number of different energetic tools and skills that I use with my clients, but also to clear your external space.
Right.
So you're not looking at that anymore.
So basically, you know, you're describing in so many ways the classic walkabout where you walk away from everything that you have. You either give away or have your relatives deal with your personal belongings, and you go off with just what you need to survive in the wilderness, whatever that wilderness looks like, mm-hmm. Knowing that you will have what you need and it will come together. And it sounds like you did that twice in fairly mm-hmm. short order,
mm-hmm.
yeah. Which is very, very yeah. powerful. And is one of the core experiences in all shamanic work.
Mm-hmm. It is. And, you know, I mean, it's the, what do they call it? Well, it's the soul's journey. You know, it's the mm-hmm. heroine's journey or the heroic journey in life. And we all do it once or twice or three times. But, I mean, it's been written in the Bible from Jesus. It's been written from Buddha. I mean, and everybody leaves their family. They leave their things. I'm not advising anyone to do this. But when you feel the call, you know, and you go, then you do that, you know, and you right. literally strip yourself and cut all cords of any kind of distraction.
It's interesting. In the Hindu culture, the expectation is that, at least for men, that they will be a householder until their children are grown. So they have their kids early, and by 55 or so, the kids are out of the house. And being a householder is called being a pogi. And if he's drawn to a spiritual path, that's the point at which he can become a yogi. That's the point at which his responsibilities to family have been taken care of. He can make whatever arrangements he needs to for the rest of his family, and then he can go off to the ashram or whatever it is. But they've built that into the culture, that the ones that are called for that have a time to do that in their lifetime.
Yeah.
For us, not so much.
Well, you know, it's depending. It really is. It depends on where you're at in your life and where you're at in your journey and what you're really looking for. You know, when I was looking to expand my energetic field, I was also looking to expand my money base. And I did that. And when I left my home and I recreated my business, I tripled my income and created a six-figure income within 3 months. And that, you know, for where I was living at the time, was kind of unheard of. You know, it's not like being a business coach and a speaker in a very small area in between New York and Boston was really, you know, a place where you could create a lucrative business, you know. But when your energy is right, then everything is right. It's just like the Bible says, first there was light and then there was the word. So first there's energy and then there's the structure and the plan. But you got to get your energy right.
And I definitely want to hear more about that. And Matt, our engineer and producer, was saying, I want to hear about tripling your income in a few years. I like that idea. So, you know, that's one of the things that everybody's ears perks up.
Right. I know. I try not to start with that because then people don't recognize, you know, all of the energy medicine work that I've done and the shamanic work.
Right.
That
all
I've
of
done,
the stuff that it took
that
to get there.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I mean,
which is the point.
That takes the time, right? That takes the time. I mean, everything that you're talking about takes the time to really be able to create this body and this being to be able to do that.
Right. We're going to go to a break in a few minutes. I want to make sure people know where to find you online.
Yes. You can find me at chooseevolution.com, and it's chooseevolution.com. So if you put two E's in there, drop one of the E's. You can also find me on Facebook, Amy Dawidowicz, DAWIDOWICZ. So there's a widow in the middle. Or Choose Evolution on Facebook as well, LinkedIn, Twitter. Find me there.
Yeah, that dropping a letter is what Empower Radio did too. And you got to pay attention. So they can find you on Facebook. They can find you online. And I suggest everybody does because you have some fascinating things to say and things to offer. When we come back, we'll pick up with the story and see where you went after that adventure to Charlotte, and then talk a little bit about what you're offering people and the process that you have for people to work with. And so we're going to take a short break. We'll be back shortly, unless, of course, we get taller. Here, never gets old. That joke never gets old. This is David Franklin Farkas with my guest, Amy Dawidowicz, here on the Farkas Files on Empower Radio. Don't go nowhere. We'll be right back.
These days, many Americans are at risk of foreclosure and losing their homes. Fortunately, help is available. Making Home Affordable is a free program from the U.S. government that has already helped over 1 million struggling homeowners and we want to help you.
I'm home.
I'm home.
And I love it. I'm home.
I'm home.
Find out now what your options are. Go to makinghomeaffordable.gov or call 1-888-995-HOPE. The sooner you act, the better chance we can help you.
I'm home.
I'm home.
Where I've been.
Brought to you by the U.S. Treasury, HUD, and the Ad Council.
Sassy! Sassy!
This week's episode, Danger at the Old Well.
Last one to the old well's a rotten egg.
Ha ha, I win.
Whoa! Ah! Sassy! Johnny fell down the well.
I'm wet.
What, Sassy? You know where Mr. Gunderson keeps his rope? Go get it, girl. What? You'd rather use this time to set people straight about shelter pet adoption?
I'm cold.
People shouldn't be afraid to adopt from a shelter? Because shelter pets are screened for sound health and temperament?
I'm wet and cold.
Sassy, what about Johnny? What? Let Johnny sit in the well until he learns to be more self-reliant? Sassy!
What'd he say?
Sassy is brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org. Remember, adopt!
Do you get tired of styling your hair every day? And do you want a good hairstyle every day? Hi, I'm Sarah Schuster. I went on a website called InventNow.org, and after that, I decided to invent something too. Something called the InstaDo. Just imagine, you just put it over your head like a helmet does, and you pick your hairstyle with the buttons on the side. And you can have instant hairstyle in seconds. People like it. People like Jeff Bart.
I like it.
And people like Kenneth.
It's this helmet thing, and it fits over your head, and it's great.
Thank you, Kenneth. You should go to inventnow.org, and it could help you come up with your own invention. After all, look at me on the radio now.
Anything's possible. Keep thinking. Get started on your own inventions or just play some games at inventnow.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office, the National Inventors Hall of Fame Foundation, and the Ad Council.
Now back to the Farkas Files with David Franklin Farkas on Empower Radio.
And we're back with my guest, Amy Dewidowitz, who has an amazing story of going on a personal adventure, learning things, and then sharing the process with others. So when last seen, our heroine was heading for Charlotte with a few things in her car.
Yes.
So what happened then?
So I got to Charlotte, and within a week, I met the exact right people, I'll just say that. I don't want to name names, but a number of very large CEOs with very large bank accounts will say that. So they've become a very amazing client. So that happened, yeah. And having a company that I do have three employees, and I have people who work for me and with me and as a team, that, you know, you really have the opportunity to be able to go anywhere and be with anyone and do anything you want, you know. And so it is a national company. It's not just, you know, towards the Northeast. But so I was very blessed in that sense that I was able to then just pick up and go. But I knew that I needed to expand. And by going to Charlotte and meeting the exact right people and just actually listening to where I needed to go, that was what pointed me in the right direction. And each and every time I listened to where I needed to go, I showed up exactly at the right place to serve the right person.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. That happened with the house that I found. Mm-hmm. Everybody said, no, you'll never find all that stuff in a house. That's not happening. I was like, uh-huh.
Yeah. And I guess, you know, I'll share one other thing, because this is... I'm a kind of a private person. I mean, I'll share my life, but I won't share personal stories that are happening now in the present moment.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll share this with you. So, fascinating enough, a client decided to introduce me to somebody in my life as a producer because of the route that I'm going and in my business. and I'm rebranding right now. So I'm going from ChooseEvolution to AmyD.me, really going web-based television, more so than anything. And so that's really where I'm going, more as a storyteller and speaker, as well as, you know, coach, but I'll be a little more selective with who I work with. But anyway, the person who I was introduced to became somebody who, you know, how do I say this? You know, I'm not somebody who just dates anyone. So became a love. And so moving to Charlotte in such a quick time and having all of these kinds of experiences happen so quickly, and then having somebody come into my life that was exactly the right person, not only to do business with, but also to travel with and to be able to be taken care of by and also to take care of is a really amazing adventure, all in such a short period of time.
It's always amazing when those things come together magically like that.
Mm-hmm. And they really do, like a puzzle.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's always a moment where you go, oh, really?
Yeah.
This is one of those moments. Huh. Who knew?
Yeah. Who knew?
You know, my thing about meeting those people is it's a moment of recognition. It's like, oh, it's you. I know you. Yeah. I'm so glad to. Oh, yeah. We're going to do something together. What are we going to do together this time?
Exactly. That's exactly it. That's exactly it. It's when you meet somebody and you're like, okay, we've played before. In another lifetime, amongst the stars, or wherever, but I know you.
We know each other already. Mm-hmm. So we don't have to go through those preliminaries. Let's just go with it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, those are wonderful moments and wonderful relationships. So enjoy.
Yeah.
So you're really moving from the coaching model and the stuff that you were offering as a coach to more being a speaker and doing storytelling. But I was very curious about how you molded a coaching model from your own experience, you know, what you were offering to people. So I want to hear about where you're going now, but I'm also curious about what you were doing a little while ago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I am still coaching. And I will always coach. I absolutely love my one-on-one clients, and I love my group model as well. And it's proven to be very beneficial. And what my main aim is to raise the energetic vibration of everyone. And that is with your bank account as well. I mean, that's how we can measure energy. When your money's down, then something's going on in your life or something's going on in your business. I mean, it just is. Right. You know, when your money's up, then everything seems to be up. Right? Or expanded. Right. And that's just the way that it goes. You know, and money is everywhere, and it does grow on trees because it's made of trees. so that's not just something that we decided to, you know, pretend that our mother said to us. It's actually true. And so my model is based around energy. And so the way I start is with that assessment, the energy evaluation, so that somebody gets the tangible results. So it's not just somebody saying, okay, this and this and this and this is what we're going to work on. They actually get to see it. So from that place, we create developmental possibilities and opportunities. And then I give them rituals in our second session. And in the second session, they get sort of like a prescription for every day. And it's a very short prescription. I'm not one of these coaches that's like, you need to read all these books and you need to do all these things. I actually want to expand time and not shorten it. And you do. So typically, what I like to do is I like to work for a total transformation with my clients for a year, which consists of 41-hour sessions over the year long. And that also goes with unlimited email because I really like to be in somebody's life. I want to know what's going on at all times because I can help them fix it immediately and give them a diagnosis and then write them a script, if you will, energetically. And so from the ritual, you continue on with that. You start to watch your life change. And within 2 to 5 weeks, every client has said, and every client has experienced a complete and utter shift and change in their focus, in their discernment, in their energy, even in their weight. That's the funny thing. They end up losing weight. They get lighter.
Right.
Because
you
all
let,
of that molasses
you let go of things
to go away. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, I was just having that conversation with someone. Like, fat is our friend that holds on to the, all the toxins that would overwhelm us otherwise.
Right,
and when you let go of things, you also release the toxins. And when you release the toxins, the fat cells aren't necessary.
Right.
So.
Right. You know, and then they also have a 6-month program, which is 20 sessions, hour-long sessions. Again, email, unlimited. And then I have a 3-month program, which is 12 sessions. And each one of them start with the assessment. And then, you know, we go through it. And I will say that typically people continue on with me because they see the value and they also see their money increase. You know, when you invest in yourself with anything, you always see whatever you're directly, clearly focused on begin to expand. So wherever your energy goes, then that grows, right? So
right.
If you're focused on a problem, then that problem continues to persist and get worse. If you're focused on a solution, and you've got somebody there holding your hand to embrace the fear that you're going through, then, you know, that solution begins to expand and then there are opportunities around every corner. And I'm like the perfect person for that because here's some of my stories. I've been attacked by nearly every sea creature in the ocean. I have been attacked by a serial killer. I mean, literally, this girl really clearly wanted to die because she was manifesting some serious stuff or she wanted to get out of this plane. You know, this human being. And they're really awesome stories and they're really fantastic and they're really funny. And there's always been somebody who's been right there to witness it, which is even better because stories begin to
unusual.
They're very unusual. Yeah, it's very unusual. They are and they're not. I mean, in South Africa, there's a jellyfish called the blue bottle, which is actually a very deadly jellyfish. And there are camps all along the beach, first and second beach in South Africa, where they have, you know, tents for this venom to alleviate and neutralize the pain. But, you know, the random occurrence of everything and how it happens before I leave each place that I've lived, that's or been on vacation, that's what's interesting. So, yeah. And sharks are not fun to play with. I'll just say that. Tiger sharks are not a fun one.
Yeah.
No.
Having been a lifeguard and managed not to play with any of those, I do understand.
Right. So when embracing fear, I really get it because I've been through the physical fear, the physical pain, and also I've been through the, you know, emotional, the spiritual, and the on this physical plane, you know, I mean, being afraid, where's your next paycheck going to come from? How are you going to feed all these mouths that you have to pay? You know, all these things, you know, there's a lot of switch tasking that has to go on with entrepreneurship. But when you've been in the eyes of death, you learn how to persist on and say, no, it's not my turn. I'm not ready. There's another solution around the corner. I know it.
Yep. It's and again, bringing it back to the model of walkabout, that's exactly the lesson, is life-threatening challenges, crazy things going on, everything else, and you're in the middle of it, and it all somehow comes together and works. So, it amazes me how much, you know, living in a third world country or having a life-threatening situation completely changes how people look at life.
Mm-hmm.
And there are so many people that have not had a major challenge other than a social challenge that they didn't, you know, some silly thing, have never really challenged themselves, have never really had to put it on the line and see what they could do. And everything knocks them for a loop. They just don't know that they can handle whatever gets thrown at them. And however that happens for you, and frequently they're very challenging situations, then you just look at everything differently. And this culture has become a culture of constant reinforcement of fear, but it's mostly fear of things that are completely nonsense.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, anytime somebody tells me to be afraid, my immediate thing is to reach for my wallet to make sure they're not pickpocketing me and try and figure out how they're manipulating me, because fear is the great manipulator. So once you've faced your fears, and once you know that you can do what you need to do and come through it, life really changes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's true. And I mean, and that's really it, is when you have fear, then you want to move through that. You want to move towards it, because that's when you know you're going in the right direction. When you can feel your body sweating and pulsing and being alive, you want to go towards that. So that thing that you're really afraid of, like public speaking, maybe, go explore that. Try that. Take a Toastmasters class. Just play.
Right.
Just to explore it, you know? And I mean, I really teach my CEOs and the people who I work with that. And then we continue to walk. We avoid the booby trap, if you will. And then I get them to fire on all cylinders energetically with the ritual that they do. And then we just walk or run, depending on how fast you want to go, your creative design. And we create that strategy and plan, and you stick to it. And you consistently do the work. And as you become consistent, you never fall below that line. It's an upward trending spiral. It's not a peak and valley anymore. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, that's the thing that happens in our culture, is that we are so based in fear, like you said. We're fed it. We're spoon fed it. And so we're like, high, we're low, we're high, we're low, we're high, we're low. So if what would happen, and I would love it if everyone would just do this social experiment, if they just turned off the TV for a whole week straight and picked mm-hmm. up a book and see what would happen to their week, to their bank right. account, to their relationships, to their communications, to their well-being.
Well, that's what vacation and going to summer camp used to be about. Completely unplugging and doing something totally different. And not, you know, at this point, the kids even have social media at camp. You know, it's like, do you have the Wi-Fi password?
But
that whole experience of being completely unplugged is incredibly powerful.
Mm-hmm. I took my first vacation of a year just 2 weeks ago, and I went to Nicaragua. My friend has a villa in the treetop outside of an area called Gigante. So it's about 2.5 hours south of Managua. And let me tell you, talk about unplugging. Howler yep. monkeys and scorpions and ocean and... There's no hospitals, but exactly that, you know, you want to unplug, put yourself there.
Right. And, you know, from the perspective of a shaman, these are just new, mm-hmm. new beings to talk to. Like, oh, who are you? How do we work this out? Mm-hmm. There's no reason for us to fight. Let's talk. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I haven't been way out where it's quiet in a while, which is why I'm really looking forward to this move. Because rather than noisy students, my biggest problem at night is going to be the occasional coyote and maybe a bear.
Mm.
I'm like, okay,
that's lovely.
What's that?
I said that's lovely.
It really is. I'm really looking forward to it. Being in a rural area rather than, it's a college town. It's not a big city or anything, but it's people everywhere and lots of energy and drunk students. And I'm really looking forward to seeing what my life is like when I don't have to deal with that constantly. How much more energy and focus I'll have when I don't have to do that. But, you know, I won't have anything as dramatic as house monkeys and scorpions and lizards, and that's okay.
Amy doesn't do much without drama. I mean, if it is, it's not I mean, not in my life. I don't mean to say that. I just mean there has to be something dramatic happening at some point in time. You know, there's always got to be something justifying and very adventurous for whatever reason. It keeps me on my toes.
Everybody's got their style, and that's obviously yours, and I'm very happy to have things be stable and quiet most of the time, so I can just focus on what's going on. But it's a matter of style. It's not that with my work I'm not having adventures all the time. They're just not outward adventures.
Well, and that really speaks to, you know, what I'm moving into and what I've been doing out in Charlotte is really working with larger companies and, well, even solopreneur, but, you know, larger groups in strategic selling through storytelling. So, you know, I mean, if I'm always having an adventure, I always have a story to tell. And you correlate that story to connect it to the next person. I mean, that's how, again, shamans, right? That's how everyone used to be able to get information across a story. And I've always been a storyteller. Obviously, I've always had a lot of stories. but what CEG Worldwide has figured out, that 84% of our world's population, people who make $1 million or more, are right brain people. So they connect through personal story. They connect through personal experience. So if you want to have that higher level, higher wealth client from 1 to 2 touches versus 6 to 8, you really hone in a personal story, and then you give them sound bites of what it is that you're selling. So they understand the who you are story, to the, you know, who we are, whatever the company is that you're representing, to the where are we going and what are we going to do together, you know? And when people get that, then you're having a real conversation and a real dialogue versus talking about bar graphs and charts and numbers and, you know, just standing in front of a podium presenting.
Right.
Makes sense?
Absolutely. Yeah, the PowerPoints are very overrated and overworked, especially the ones with graphs. Back in the day, I was taught that you could tell who was the expert because they came from out of town, they were wearing a suit, and they had visual aids. So, it's the people who can really tell the story and express what's important that really make a difference. And that's always been true. So you started telling us a little bit about how storytelling works in the corporate environment. You want to give us another little piece of that? How you're working with people with storytelling?
Yeah, well, I'm also, you know, I mean, it's also a very cathartic experience. So when you get up, I mean, I'm sure you've heard of TEDx and TED and Moss as well. When you get up and you really explain your soul's mission or whatever it is that, you know, because typically we all have something that keeps happening. It's just a different face, a different name, but it's the same kind of situation. And when you get that out and you connect to somebody and you also just have that experience of being able to share that and be that vulnerable, there's this power that comes out of you. And again, that's another way of releasing energy. And that's another way of connecting. And that's another way of allowing people to recognize that they're just like you. You know, and it's okay if we're not all perfect. We're all imperfectly perfect. You know, and that's really my mission, you know, is that when we start sharing more of ourselves authentically and being generous with our spirit, you know, and dedicated to that, then this world is going to vibrate in such a different manner. Mm-hmm. But if we're going to do this reality TV where everyone hates each other and they're just going to smack each other in the face and do all these other weird things and whatever else they do, you know, I mean, it's just drama. And drama is catabolic energy. And we're all, like, so addicted to it because it's all we know. Versus what we really truly know on a cellular level, which is the experience that we've had. You know, so there's the experiencing self. Do you know about this concept, the experiencing self, versus the remembering self? So the experiencing self is in the experience, right? Like the story. Right. And then the remembering self is just remembering, you know, and recreating the drama. You know, and so we really want to stay within the experience itself, obviously, because that's the present moment. And when you're present, then you can manifest anything, you know, because you're clear and you're focused and you're in this moment. So you can actually not run past those higher level clients. You can actually sit and stay and look to the left and the right and see who it is that you might need to communicate with, you know, versus what you think you're supposed to do in the remembering self. So it's like the frontal cortex versus the limbic system. That's basically in the brain if we're talking, you know, analytical. That's my other background is behavioral science. I'm really, like, into, you know, hence choose evolution. I'm really into science versus spirituality, because I really highly believe in spirituality, and I really believe in science. And just to give you one more little whammy of a story. Mm-hmm. So I'm a test tube baby, and that's my big story that I tell on stage. I'm one of the first test tube babies. So without wow. science or spirituality, I wouldn't be here.
Well, so what a fascinating place to have to stop. That's an incredible right? story.
Right, I know. Right.
But yeah, somebody really intended for you to be here, and it was against all odds. Mm-hmm. That's amazing. Mm-hmm. Well, Amy Dewitowicz, tell us again where people can find you online.
Mm-hmm. At chooseevolution.com, ChooseEvolution. So if you put two E's in, you want to drop one E. Or you can find me on Twitter or Facebook at Amy Dewitowicz or Choose Evolution with two E's. You can find me on LinkedIn. You can also find me on YouTube. It would be YouTube/ Amy Dewitowicz. Again, it's D-A, widow in the middle, W-I-D-O-W-I-C-Z. And please feel free to connect via email, amy@chooseevolution.com. I'd love to answer any questions that you all have.
Fantastic. What's the next thing for you? What's on your agenda?
Well, that's not to be spoken about, but you'll be seeing big things from me. You'll be seeing big things from me. There's your hint.
Okay. And we will stay in touch. So I look forward to seeing what the next step is for you. As obviously, you know, it seems trite to say you make things happen, but things happen because of who you are and how you are in the world. And it should be very exciting to see what's going to go on next with you. I'll look forward
Thank
to
you,
that.
David. Thank you very much for having me.
It's our total pleasure having you on the show. Thank you so much for taking the time. And stay on when we get off so we can chat for a couple of minutes after the show.
Sure.
My guest tonight, again, is Amy Dewitowicz, whose specialty is moving people from transition to real transformation and is doing some totally amazing things. Thanks again for being with us. And if people got curious about who David is and what I do, please go to househealing.com, and cleverly hiding on the contact tab is every conceivable technology for getting in touch with me, including a scheduling calendar. You can schedule a free 20-minute assessment of what's going on with a person, a place, a situation, whatever it happens to be, and we can see how my work might be helpful to you. So please take advantage of that. If you're looking for more about this show or the archives for the show, please go to, cleverly enough, thefarkasfiles.com. And the entire archive is there, and you can listen to any show directly from there. Or you can find us on iTunes Podcasts, on iHeartRadio, and I found out we're also on Stitcher. Which I had never seen before. So if you go to any of those outlets and put in Empower Radio, you'll get all the shows, including the Farkas Files. And I hope you'll do that, because there are some wonderful shows on Empower Radio. If you just happen to be a listener of mine, check out the other ones. Some really interesting people doing interesting things and talking to interesting folks. So expand your horizons, as we would say. So I want to thank you one and all for making us part of your week and for listening to us. Please pass the word to people you think will benefit from the show. We interview fascinating people who are mostly doing things that seem impossible, and that's fun. So until next week, this is David Franklin Farkas for the Farkas Files. The truth is in here. Somewhere on Empower Radio. Have a fantastic week.